much do you know about the United Nations? Today, as I mentioned, is 75 years to the day since the organisation's charter was officially adopted back in 1945, soon after the end of the Second World War. The nations worldwide decided to try to change the course of history and took the commitment to try to work together for peace. And around the world, events are taking place to mark this anniversary, including here in Queensland. And Annette Brownlee is the Vice President of the Queensland Executive Committee of the UN Association of Australia. They're helping to, well, let us know a little bit more about it. So a good person to talk to about today's anniversary. Annette, happy birthday, I guess.
Well, thanks very much, Kate, for organising today to, you know, for people to learn a little bit more about the United Nations and why it is so important. It's not just relevant, it's vital for dealing with the big issues of today.
What have been some of the biggest achievements of the United Nations over the last 75 years?
Look, I think building up the architecture of the United Nations, where it plays such a vital role in this global world that we live in, most people don't realise just how many areas of everyday life are basically as a result of the functioning of the United Nations. You know, things like the World Postal Union, where the United Nations organises postal policies amongst member nations. That's just a small thing, but on the bigger side and the more important side, we have the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change dealing with, you know, the existential threat of climate change as our planet warms. So, you know, these are the bodies that have developed out of the United Nations. Despite the fact that it was set up in the aftermath of World War II, where 80 million people died. You know, we're talking about a pandemic now with, well, as close to a million people have died in this COVID pandemic. But imagine that 80 million people died within that 6 years of World War II. So you can understand why, you know, the feeling was never again, let this happen, never again. And Australia played a big part in setting up the United Nations. Historically, we should be very proud of the role of Doc Evatt, one of two individuals who played a really significant role in drafting the Charter.
And how do you feel that relationship is now? How do you feel? Do you feel that Australia is still a great contributor and respecter of the role of the UN?
There have been times where that's been questionable. And the UN, as a global body, is only as strong as its member nations. 193 countries are member nations of the United Nations. But each of those countries' role and support through the programs of the United Nations, but also financially, to allow the United Nations to function, is so important. But each country, government, relies on support from the community, and this is really why we work, the United Nations Association, to raise the profile of the UN amongst the grassroots communities and to lobby government to play a stronger role in the United Nations. So that's why we exist.
So why is the United Nations still relevant for Queenslanders?
Oh, look, it's relevant for every person on earth. But for Queenslanders, well, let's just look at, you know, the big ones that we're dealing with today, the pandemic. Without the World Health Organization, one of the bodies of the United Nations, we wouldn't have this global effort to find a vaccine. That's relevant to everybody. Certainly climate change. If we're going to address climate change, we need to listen to the scientists through the IPCC. We are seriously threatened in this state by climate change, whether it's the bleaching of the barrier reef or the droughts or the hurricanes and cyclones that affect us and can cause such terrible devastation as well as economic impacts on Queenslanders.
Yes, I'm just thinking about the beginning of the first instance you mentioned of the pandemic, and at the very beginning, you know, it was all eyes on the World Health Organization as to when they would declare it a pandemic, and the sense of accountability to the World Health Organization in some areas that was criticized, of course, but without that organization in general, what would be the pathway for this information, and what would be the accountability for the countries to let people, you know, exactly. Let other country knows what's going on.
Yep. Former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Helen Clark, has been appointed by the UN to run the investigation into how the pandemic rolled out and just to the detail in the interests of future pandemics. And this won't be the last. That's what everyone's telling us. The scientists are telling us this will not be the last pandemic, and we need to learn from the experience of this. And it is only through the World Health Organization as a global body that can tap into how countries around the world have dealt with it, what worked best, and also to bring the scientists together who are working on a vaccine. We can't afford to let the vaccine for COVID-19 be privatised. It needs to be available to every person around the planet.
Do you feel that the future of the UN is strong and healthy, or are you concerned that countries are turning away from it and going alone? There's a more individualistic kind of approach to world affairs.
I think the only country that's really outstanding in turning away from the United Nations is the United States under Donald Trump. And he has been the provocateur, to resist the UN as a global body, as a body that can bring people together, you know, because his America First, basically, mantra is what's driving his attitude and his withdrawal of funds from, the key bodies of the United Nations, the UNRWA, the UN Refugee Agency that manages the hundreds of thousands of people that have been made homeless and refugees from their countries in the Middle East, are now not having the benefit of the funding coming from the United States. And you know, of course, that he has pulled out of the IPPC, and he's threatening to withdraw funding from the World Health Organization in the midst of a pandemic. So, yeah, as a global leader, he obviously is going to affect some countries, and some countries will follow him. We only hope that it won't be our country that follows him, because there's never been a time before, really, that we need this global body to be managing those big threats that we're facing. The threat of war with China, for example, as well. The United Nations, as we've talked about, was set up to prevent another world war, and yet we've got a very dangerous situation in our own region where military people and politicians are openly talking about the threat of, or the likelihood, or the possibility that they will go to war with China. There is no winner in a war with China.
And just to wind the clock back, you mentioned how proud Australia should be of the contribution of Doc Evatt. What contribution did Doc have at the very beginning of the UN?
Well, he was there at the San Francisco conference, and he played an enormous role with the content of the charter. I think they learned the lesson from the First World War, where that ended with such devastating effects on the people of Germany that then led to the build-up of military in Germany leading into the Second World War. So I think Doc Evatt was one of the people that recognised that we need to do things differently this time as the Second World War ended.
It's interesting here on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, we've had a text who, and you must come across this a lot, Annette, of people who are in total disagreement about the value of the United Nations. One texter here describing it as an incompetent, bureaucratic money pit and arguing that we shouldn't be giving taxpayer funds to this body. Do you have a response to that sort of criticism?
Oh, look, I think that's really unfounded in the sense that the money that goes to the UN is really quite small. And if we were to make the UN a more capable and influential body, in fact, it would help if we had a lot more money going to the UN. When you think of the services that the UN conducts with vaccination programs around the world, with education in third world countries, we can't just think of ourselves. We are not an island unto ourselves. What happens in the rest of the world is important from a humanitarian point of view, but also if you want to look at security. You know, if we have some sound, just populations around the world in our nearby countries and all the countries, then we as a nation are much more secure as well. So I you know, dispute really what the person has put forward.
Annette, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland with Cato Toole.